scripture lesson this morning. We have two scriptures this morning. The first one is from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2. If you like, you can find it on page 556 in the Pew Bible in front of you. And this is what the psalmist prayed. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And gospel lesson is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We continue reading in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the gospel of the Lord. A few years ago, Dan and I spent the night in an emergency room in Brooklyn. Our daughter Emily was taken to the hospital by her roommates because she was very sick, running high fever and aching from head to toe with severe pain. And so we got a call from her roommates letting us know that she's very ill, didn't know what to do, so we asked them, "Can you please take her to the emergency room and we'll meet you there?" She did everything she could, taking Advil, you know, nothing seemed to help, so she finally ended up in the emergency room, and she was in the middle of her finals. That was during her final week. So when we arrived at the hospital, it was almost midnight. After running a battery of tests, it was determined that basically she was severely dehydrated. She stayed up the previous two nights working on her projects, and so obviously she was not eating well, and all she drank was coffee. And so she became very dehydrated. But through the course of the night, she received 3.5 liters of fluid through the IV, and that still wasn't enough. She was finally discharged 7:30 in the morning. We brought her home, nursed her back to health over the next few days, and then she went back to school so that she could finish her semester. It was clear that when our body is overly thirsty, every part of our body screams for water in pain. Hunger and thirst are primal and all-consuming needs that drive us to find a way to fill the void with food and water, no matter what, because our very life depends on it. When we come to that point of hunger and thirst, our body screams for food and water in such a way that you just cannot ignore it. So either you end up in the emergency room because you become so sick, or you have to do something about it. To hunger and thirst is to have a deep yearning and longing. And we hear Jesus saying to us today, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." In other words, happy are you who have deep longing for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Now, we have some understanding of what it means to be hungry and thirsty, but what does it mean when Jesus says, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Oftentimes, we tend to think that righteousness means that we have to be good or do good things in a moralistic sense. Not breaking the rules and regulations. Don't commit any crimes. However, this understanding and practice of righteousness is not what Jesus meant. And this kind of righteousness does not fill or satisfy our deepest longing. So what does it mean when Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? Percy Ainsworth said, righteousness is the human spirit recognizing and claiming its kinship with God and seeking all that is involved in that relationship. Let me say it again. Righteousness is the human spirit recognizing and claiming its kinship with God and seeking all that is involved in that relationship. The Hebrew word for righteous person means one whose aim is true, suggesting an image of righteousness as a target practice. If you picture in your mind archery, right? 100 yards ahead, there is a target with bullseye right in the middle. And righteousness is one who is aiming to hit that truth right in the middle. The righteousness Jesus is conveying is the idea of daily practice of right relationship with God and neighbor, where our true aim is to live as God wants us to live. Righteousness is to be whom God made us to be and to be in a right relationship with God. That every day and every moment that we yearn to live as how God wants us to live, displaying something of God in our words, in our actions, throughout our lives. Righteousness is when the appetite for God and life in God is our most fundamental hunger and thirst for the Spirit of God. And much like the sunflower that follows the sun all throughout the day. When we deeply yearn for God, our lives, the way we relate to each other, the way we see the world changes to how God sees the world. So rather than seeing the world through my own lens, when we seek to be close to God, and when we are intimate with God in our relationship, do we begin to see the world through God's eyes? I think all of you will understand. If you kind of think about your own relationship with someone that you're close with. It could be your spouse, your parents, your children, your good friend. And when you have that good relationship, right, then somehow through that relationship, the way you relate to others are affected, changes. So your worldview is influenced, correct? So the righteousness is that, in the biblical sense, it's talking about how we continue to deepen in our relationship with God. And as we grow closer to God, how that relationship changes us to see the world in a different way, to see the world through God's eyes, to see other people through God's eyes. And that's what righteousness means. So when we see justice and peace and love in our relationships, in other people, or in the world, we rejoice because God rejoices. But when we see the pain and the hurt in the world, in other people, we hurt because God hurts. When we see the injustice and oppression, the violence and hatred, then as much as we've experienced the sadness, we also feel the holy anger. Because that's what God sees and that's what God feels. As God sees His own children abusing each other, wronging each other. And this compels us to raise awareness, raise the voices, and compel us into action. The psalm writer described well the thirst for God as he prayed, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God." My soul thirst for God, for the living God. Now here, the thirst that he's describing, it's not just, oh, I'm thirsty, I need a cup of water. I need a glass of water to drink. This thirst is like Emily's thirst, where whole body is screaming for water. I need this water if I'm going to continue to live. So the longing described here is not optional, nor is it a matter of convenience. When our soul longs for God, like the deer longs for water, it is the kind of desperate longing where our life depends on it, that we would risk everything, even our life, so that I can be close to God. Deer cannot survive without drinking the water. And in order to drink, in order to have a drink of water, it has to risk its life coming to the watering hole where the predators lurk for their next meal. We cannot be fulfilled without God. Someone said, within us all there is a yearning that nothing, no thing, no created object, no person, no pleasure, no accomplishment, no status, no position can satisfy. We are athirst for living God. So what do you hunger and thirst for in your life? How are you hungering and thirsting for God? The promise Jesus gives is that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, He says, then you will be filled. And here, the sense of the word filled is not just filled full, but it's translated more like stuffed full. Stuffed full. So when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God, to be in relationship with God, Jesus saying, you will be filled, not just almost full, but stuffed full, pressed down, overflowing full. God has created us for deep and joyous communion with God, with people, and with the whole creation. And so when we yearn for God to have that communion, to have that relationship, to be one with God, is when we are filled with God's peace, joy, love, life full of satisfaction that exceeds our expectation and imagination. Because as we commune with God, we begin to find the meaning and purpose of our lives. In our hungering and thirsting for God, in our deep and genuine desire for oneness with God, it is my prayer that we are deemed righteous, finding ourselves in God and experiencing the fullness and satisfaction. So what are you hungering and thirsting for in your life? Are you hungering and thirsting for God? May you be blessed as you hunger and thirst for God and be filled with God's peace, God's presence, God's love, God's joy. Amen.